Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. If you're visiting today, a very special welcome to you. Please stay for morning tea afterwards and continue the fellowship. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible, as your spirit guides us. We look forward, Father, each week to hear you speak to us as we gather together, as we read the scriptures together. Loving Father God, we've been reminded of what it means to be your people, to be church. And today, Father, we come together and we think about the things that are important to you when we talk with you, when we pray. There are many things, Father, that we could talk to you about. But today, Father, help us to focus on this one important thing that you particularly got Paul to write to the church in Colossae and to us as well today. Help me to teach your word correctly. May we indeed experience your spirit guiding us into truth. And we ask that upon leaving here, we'll be glad that we came. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, open up your Bibles to the Bible reading there from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. In your bulletin, you should have a little sermon outline as well. And for those of you who have been away for a little while, that sermon outline also has a Bible study on the other side and some questions and a little scenario that you can do at home or you can do in a group, and just to help us to remember the things that we've learned of a Sunday. As I've prayed, we're thinking about what it means to be church as we read and study this letter together of the Church of Colossae. And today, the title is called The Church, The Prayer of Church. So in our reading this morning, there you'll see there in verse 2 and 6, as you've got your Bibles open in front of you, we're told this morning that we're told to be devoted, to be devoted. Devoted to prayer and to be wise. For me, devoted is a very serious word. To me, it actually implies giving a lot of myself to something or to someone. Sacrifice, commitment, faithfulness. I think it also implies some motivating feeling or passion driven by its importance. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of too many things I could honestly say I was devoted to, other than to God and to Rosemary. I could add to the list, for the sake of adding to the list, some other things along the way as well too, but honestly, they won't be as devoted as I am to God and to my wife. I could add our children, our family, our close friends. They're all very dear and very special. Our children are adults, and our care for them is different now. We love them, and we love our family, and we see them whenever we can, and our friends are very dear and special to us, but they're not like God, nor are they like my wife. Do you hear what I'm saying about the word devoted? All right. When I watch the footy on TV on Friday nights with chocolate, if you ever come around on Friday night, bring chocolate, all right? I could be a little flippant and with the word and say some of those fans are pretty devoted to their team, especially as the finals in the NRL are coming closer. So when I thought about why the Apostle Paul would use such a word, I realised he was asking of us something very important to him, hoping it would be of equal importance to us. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Now, prayer is not meant to be complicated. It's simply talking with God, but with obvious reverence and respect. He's God. He's not the mate that you watch the footy with. And one of my earliest memories of God as a child was thinking how clever God is, that he could hear my prayers when I talked to him aloud and quietly in my head, even though I couldn't see him. I thought how clever he was that if I was just thinking about him, he could still hear me. And even if everyone in the world was praying to him at the same time I was, he still heard me. Without the complicated questioning that comes with being an adult, I found this easy to believe as a child. That's what God can do, I thought. He's God. And talking to God came easy for me. I think those of us who deal with children know that this is true. You know, we can learn a lot from children and their faith. It's no wonder that Jesus brought a child into the midst of his disciples to learn from them. One of my favourite Christian kids songs is Colin Buchanan's little song, "You Can Tell the Lord That You Love Him Anytime." I'm going to sing it to you, so sadly it goes, "You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank him for his love and care. Shoot him up a narrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime." And it goes about kicking a football, soccer, you know, climbing a tree, playing with your mates. You can talk to the Lord anytime, anywhere. Prayer is simply talking with God. And prayer is quite versatile too, isn't it? We can pray alone, or we can pray with others, as we do when we church. We can pray formally, and we can pray informally. And since prayer is talking with God, we shouldn't be surprised that God uses prayer to grow, deepen, and enhance our relationship with him and with each other. That's what talking with others does. As Anglican Christians, we take prayer very seriously. We have arranged over the years that what we pray together in church, whether wherever or whenever we may meet, is Bible-based and common to all of us. We even put them into a book, a prayer book. We've called the book a book of common prayer. Not that they're common prayers, but they're prayers common to all of us. And we've done this so that we can be protected. Protected when we meet together from praying only what Trevor wants you to pray about, all right? And we don't miss anyone or anything out that God in his word, the Bible, wants us to pray. We also see formal prayers, like the ones in our prayer books, as teaching tools. Much thought has gone into these prayers so as to teach us who God is, what pleases him, and how we are to approach him. Did you realise that all the prayers we use from our authorised prayer books or in our services are in the plural, so as to remind us that our relationship with God is not just personal, it's corporate, it's family, it's together. And it's actually how Jesus taught us to pray when the disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray?" Just say the Lord's Prayer in your head now. It's all in the plural, isn't it? It's not I, it's our Father. But our talking to God, our being devoted to prayer, is not limited to praying those prayers alone. We are free to talk to him anytime, anywhere, about anything. And like I tell my kids in Scripture, God doesn't stick his fingers in his ears. He listens to us. He wants us to know who we are and to enjoy relationship with him. According to Google, we're told to pray 780 times in the Bible. There you go. 780 times we're told to pray in the Bible. Lots and lots of times. And according to a number of doctors and psychologists, prayer can also improve a person's mental health, such as reducing anxiety and stress, and in turn, better physiological functioning, such as lower levels of the stress hormone cortisol. Did I get that right, Rosemary? Lower blood pressure and improved immune functioning. So those of us who deliberately include prayer to God while we meditate could vouch for that. Considering all the benefits of prayer, it's no wonder Paul teaches us to be devoted to prayer. But in our reading this morning, one important reason is given. And if anything, I would like us to go away remembering this today and I've written it in your order of in your sermon outline so as to take away as a memory statement of the sermon. Prayer is just as important as making God known to people. Just as important as answering a question about God over coffee and cake. Just as important as preaching. I'll say that again just in case you didn't hear it. Just as important as preaching. Because God uses our prayer in helping people to know Him and helping us in making Him known. Now, there are many ways, many things we can talk to God about, and I believe God doesn't mind what we talk to Him about, but there are some matters He has high on His priority list. And making God known to people, or in the words of verse 3, as I've put on the screen up here, proclaiming the message of the mystery of Christ is at the top of God's list. Because it is the message God uses to make Himself known. God uses the message to make Himself known. What is the message? It's the gospel, primarily. What God has done in Jesus Christ to make us friends with Him. Paul, in his opening pages of his letter to the Christians in Rome, wrote, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." The reason prayer is needed for making God known is that this message, the gospel, is a mystery to most people. And you know what a mystery is? It's a secret. It's not known. The reason prayer is needed is for making God known is that the message is a mystery to most people. It's not to us. We know who Christ is and what God has done in Him to make us friends with Him. But most people don't. And for them to hear this message and for Jesus to no longer be a mystery to them is important to God. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, "I urge then, first of all," writes Paul, "that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." God uses prayer to open doors for His message to be heard. And I'm sure that whatever is important to God is important to you too. So, what should we pray? Three things. Firstly, verse 3 there, look with me in your Bibles or in the order of service that you've been, it's printed out. Verse 3 there, look with me there. When we pray, we're to mention that opportunities arise for the message of the gospel to be told and to be heard. Pray, says Paul, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. I find that when we pray this, what we're actually doing is actually telling God, "God, look at us. We want what you want. You want people to know you. We do too. We're ready, we're prepared, and we're willing. Use us for your glory. That's what I take it. Pray that opportunities arise for the message of the gospel to be told and heard. Secondly, look there at verse 4. Pray that people sharing the message speak it clearly. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I take it that the I in verse 4 is a personal request of Paul for prayer from the Colossian church. But I don't think he's limiting it to him alone. I take it we can extend the request from people whose ministry is proclaiming, preaching, or teaching ministry. Preachers, evangelists, scripture teachers, Bible study leaders, kids' church leaders like Emily. The emphasis being on prayer for the message to be clear and for the message to be so clear that it's understood by its hearers, not just the one who's speaking it, but understood and clear in a way that the hearers will hear it, packaging it in a way that they understand it. That's what God wants us to pray by those who tell it. And this is something that you can do every Sunday morning. I mean, you can do it every day if you like, but on Sunday mornings in particular, take a moment while you're waiting for church to begin to pray this for me or for whoever might be preaching that day. For Karen and Emily and her team at Kids Church, for our Link missionaries, for Fiona and our scripture teachers on Tuesdays. Pray that the people we're sharing the message with, pray that we who are sharing that message speak it clearly as we should. Why? Remember, because God wants to make himself known. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God uses prayer and us in doing that. And thirdly, why should we pray? Verses 5 and 6, pray that we too will be ready, like Paul is saying, pray for me that I'm ready. Paul then goes on to say, well, look, you too be ready. Pray that we too will be ready, prepared and willing to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way to share what we know of God and living life his way. Let me tell you a story about Jean. Jean is a lady in her 80s. Jean had always been frightened about talking about her faith with others. And one day after Bible study, Jean waited till others had left and said to me, Trevor, I'm no longer frightened about sharing what I know of God with others. I've realized I'm not a teller, but a talker. And Jean could talk, all right? And I was always frightened about having to look for opportunities to tell people about God. I have no problem talking about anything that is important or of interest to me and Bruce, no matter where the conversation goes. I know when they lose interest and I change the subject and continue as, and then I know when they are interested and continue as long as their interest is there, just like everyone else does in conversations. So I'm just going to let myself talk about my interest in God with others when the opportunity arises, no matter what they think, no matter where the conversation goes. And it's been lovely listening to Jean's little stories along the way of people that she's come in contact with. The priority of prayer for the proclamation of the gospel is not just for me or others in leadership or upfront Bible teaching ministries, tellers, but for you and all of us in the church as God uses in opportunities to make himself known as talkers. And as we pray for this, Paul wants us to keep something in mind. What is it that he wants us to keep in mind? Have a look there at verse 2. That we are both much watchful and thankful when we pray. By watchful, I take it Paul means not just sitting back and waiting for opportunities. That's one way. Waiting for opportunities to make God known to people. But also actively looking for opportunities. Making the most of them when they arise. Believing God will answer our prayers and use them to proclaim our message. That's being watchful. When our children were little and used to be fascinated by critters they found in the garden, or the various colours of flowers and plants, they were fascinated by the flowers. They were fascinated by the critters. I saw it as an opportunity to talk about God, to God talk. And I encourage parents to do this and grandparents to do this. And I would say to our kids, isn't God clever? Could you make that? No, Dad, isn't God clever? Simple that. God talking. And that's it. You leave it at that. Be watchful. God talk. Be a gene. Thankful. Thankful in that when these opportunities do arise, we don't forget to be encouraged that our prayer has been heard, and to thank God for them and to look forward to more opportunities. I have found a helpful practice to take prayer seriously is to keep a prayer journal or to put it in your diary. I know of Bible study groups that do this. They record what they have prayed for so that when we read over them before we spend the next time in prayer, we recall what we have prayed for the previous week and recollect how God has answered it and give thanks wherever it might be. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When the opportunities do arise, what do we need to do? Verse 5. We need to be wise. And by wise, in that what I mean by this is to remember that these opportunities are God-given opportunities. We are his servants, not his masters. And that each little opportunity that comes our way, we're not to take lightly or, at worst, avoid. And when they do come our way, we're prepared and ready, even if it might mean practicing what we may say to someone beforehand, so that we may know how to answer everyone in a way that is respectful and satisfies their curiosity. That's what I take it Paul means by verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. And Peter, when he writes these words in chapter 3, verse 15, do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And the Apostle Paul didn't take the power of prayer and the proclamation of the mystery of Christ lightly or avoid them. I'm sure he knew, and I'm sure he experienced people's negative reactions like we do. The temptation, I gather, was there for him to avoid. However, in verses 3 and 4, in wisdom, Paul writes that he knew that this is what God wanted him to do, even if it meant for him to be in prison. in prayer and making God known, Paul was certainly devoted. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So in conclusion, we're no apostle. I'm no Apostle Paul, neither are you. Or are we Billy Graham or John Chapman or Philip Yancey or John Piper? We're not all called to be teachers of God's word or evangelists. But we are all called to be prepared, to God talk, to answer people's questions about God, to practice in anticipation, to make the most of every opportunity, and to pray that God will bring opportunities to us so we too can make God known, so that the good news of Jesus Christ is no mystery to people. The prayer of the church is important to God, or he wouldn't ask us to pray accordingly. And if it's important to God, which it is, it goes without saying, it ought to be important to us too. Prayer is just as important as making God known to people. Prayer is just as important as answering a question about God over tea or coffee and cake. Prayer is even as important as preaching, because God uses our prayers to help people to know the mystery of Christ and to help us make him known wherever they might be at or we might be at. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You might like to join with me in this prayer that I've written. It's at the bottom of your sermon outline as well, I think, at the back of it on the Bible study question, and as a way of just remembering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you desire all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We may be no Billy Grahams, but thank you for every opportunity we have to talk with people about you. Keep us motivated to pray for those times, to be prepared and wise, making the most of every opportunity to make Jesus Christ known. In his name we pray, and for your glory. Amen. Musos.